The intersection of religion and politics has been a part of the U.S. since the dawning of the new nation in the late 18th century. To what extent is the separation of church and state an actual reality? And how many Americans truly believe it should be the case? And how has the conservative Christian embrace of President Trump affected how the connection between religion and politics is perceived? New York Times columnist Ross Douthat was at ASU last week as part of the Polarization and Civil Disagreement Speaker Series presented by the university's School of Civic and Economic Thought and Leadership. I spoke with him on the Tempe campus and began the conversation by asking him what he's seeing when it comes to how religious people are voting and viewing the current political scene.
Sure. I mean, I think the big trend of the last 10 or 15 years is that a big chunk of the people you're talking about, what you might call religious conservatives, went from believing that the country was basically on their side and that the problem was just that there was this sort of secular elite that ran the courts and the media and so on, to believing, I think generally rightly, that they had lost a lot of cultural battles and that the country was moving away from them. And so the difference between religious conservatism in the age of George W. Bush and religious conservatism in the age of Trump is that under Bush, religious conservatives thought, you know, this is our country. We're going to get this godly leader who's, you know, a born-again Christian himself and Bush, and we're going to sort of create a new religious center, right? That, you know, there had been a kind of mainline Protestant religious center for a long time in American history that kind of fell apart in the 60s and 70s. A lot of religious conservatives, Catholic and evangelicals, thought they could put that back together. And 10 or 15 years later, they don't think that anymore. They think that their destiny is to be a kind of besieged minority in a sort of post-Christian, secularized society. And a lot of support for Donald Trump is conditioned on that anxiety, basically this sense that, like, all right, you know, Trump isn't particularly godly or religious, but he's a tough guy. We have a transactional relationship with him. He's, you know, giving us the religious liberty protections we need, giving us judicial appointments, and that suffices. And there are some religious Trump supporters who take a more optimistic view and say, you know, Trump is chosen by God to fulfill prophecy and so on. But I think that's less important than this anxiety about cultural defeat that led to this transactional relationship with a kind of candidate who they wouldn't have supported 20 years ago.
Can I ask you what you think about that characterization, that anxiety, this feeling of conservative Christians feeling like they're a minority? From a broader standpoint, is that a valid point of view? Do the facts back that up?
Yes, up to a point. I would say that particularly after the Obergefell decision was handed down, the same-sex marriage decision, there was a clear sense among a lot of liberals that the time had come to put a kind of soft legal pressure on conservative religious institutions to get them to liberalize, to sort of conform to the sexual revolution, whether it's the Health and Human Services Department mandate under Obamacare that tried to get Catholic colleges to cover contraception and the morning after pill, or, you know, the famous case studies of bakers who didn't want to bake cake for same-sex marriages getting hauled in front of local tribunals, basically. I think all of those were totally reasonable fears. The more sweeping fear of sort of, you know, overt persecution and so on, I think was always extremely unlikely. And I think one of the lessons of the Trump era is that politics swings back and forth in America. And there was this sort of acceleration of social liberalism between, let's say, 2005 and 2015 that made a lot of religious conservatives assume it would just continue. But in fact, the patterns are usually, you know, there's usually more of a pendulum swing in politics. And so the question is, did those fears justify supporting Donald Trump? And, you know, we'll be able to answer that in 30 years or so.
Ross, do you think it's important personally and then from a general standpoint that we know just how religious a congressional candidate is or a president or a presidential candidate is? Certainly Mitt Romney's religion became a big deal, and whether Donald Trump, based on certain things, is actually a religious person. Why is that so important to us generally?
Well, I think the presidency is distinctive, right? I mean, I think the, you know, the religious views of your average congressman are, you know, you can tell most of what you need to know about your average congressman by knowing their partisan affiliation. You know how they're going to vote, and that's pretty much all you need to know. The presidency, though, has ended up as this, you know, world-bestriding, nuclear weapons-controlling you know, it's an incredibly powerful office at this point. And we have a media landscape where the presidency looms particularly large. And with all of that going on, I don't think it's at all surprising that people, you know, they focus more on everything. The same exposure that applies to Trump's sex life or Bill Clinton's sex life, I think not surprisingly means that, again, more people are interested in and sort of concerned about the president's religion than they were with, you know, Richard Nixon or Herbert Hoover or any of these figures. Though you also don't want to underestimate, like, in past eras when there was more of a kind of Christian consensus in the U.S., if you go back and read some of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speeches in wartime and so on, you get rhetoric from past presidents that is very, I mean, Lincoln's second inaugural is basically a theological disquisition, right? So there are ways in which, you know, sometimes you get a kind of secular anxiety about presidential religiosity that, if applied backward, would, you know, have people calling Abraham Lincoln a theocrat or something, which would be silly.
Is religion dividing us politically, or is it sort of dividing along the same lines that we see as to whether someone is conservative socially or liberal socially?
I think there's been more of a conflation of sort of theological and political loyalties than in the past. And part of this reflects the fact that almost all of our churches and synagogues, for that matter, have this sort of liberal versus conservative theological battle going on that is similar in each denomination, right? Like the battles, you know, within Protestantism are kind of similar to the battles within Catholicism. The arguments between Reformed Jews and Orthodox Jews are not unlike the arguments between liberal and conservative Catholics. And so you end up with this dynamic where liberal Catholics have more in common with liberal Baptists and conservative Catholics have more in common with conservative Jews. And there's this sort of theological polarization. It's this sense in which the civil war between liberals and conservatives in politics, even though it's very different in content from the civil war over theology, they've ended up mapping onto each other as part of this general polarization.
Ross Douthat is a columnist for The New York Times. He spoke about religion and politics last week at ASU.